Chapter 1 of The Duel. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by expatriate in Bangor, Maine. The Duel by Anton Chekhov. Translated by Constance Garnett, 1861 to 1946. Chapter 1. It was 8 o'clock in the morning, the time when the officers, the local officials, and the visitors usually took their morning dip in the sea after the hot, stifling night, and then went into the pavilion to drink tea or coffee. Ivan Andreitch Laevsky, a thin, fair young man of 28, wearing the cap of a clerk in the Ministry of Finance and with slippers on his feet, coming down to bathe, found a number of acquaintances on the beach, and among them his friend Samoylenko, the army doctor. With his big cropped head, short neck, his red face, his big nose, his shaggy black eyebrows and grey whiskers, his stout puffy figure and his hoarse military bass, this Samoylenko made on every newcomer the unpleasant impression of a gruff bully. But 2 or 3 days after making his acquaintance, one began to think his face extraordinarily good-natured, kind, and even handsome. In spite of his clumsiness and rough manner, he was a peaceable man, of infinite kindliness and goodness of heart, always ready to be of use. He was on familiar terms with everyone in the town, lent everyone money, doctored everyone, made matches, patched up quarrels, arranged picnics at which he cooked shashlik and an awfully good soup of grey mullets. He was always looking after other people's affairs and trying to interest someone on their behalf, and was always delighted about something. The general opinion about him was that he was without faults of character. He had only 2 weaknesses. He was ashamed of his own good nature, and tried to disguise it by a surly expression and an assumed gruffness. And he liked his assistants and his soldiers to call him Your Excellency, although he was only a civil councillor. "Answer one question for me, Alexander Davidich," Laevsky began, when both he and Samoylenko were in the water up to their shoulders. "Suppose you had loved a woman and had been living with her for 2 or 3 years, and then left off caring for her, as one does, and began to feel that you had nothing in common with her. How would you behave in that case?" "It's very simple. You go where you please, madam, and that would be the end of it." "Oh, it's easy to say that, but if she has nowhere to go? A woman with no friends or relations, without a farthing, who can't work?" "Well, 500 rubles down, or an allowance of 25 rubles a month, and nothing more. It's very simple." "Even supposing you have 500 rubles, and can pay 25 rubles a month, the woman I am speaking of is an educated woman and proud. Could you really bring yourself to offer her money? And how would you do it?" Samoylenko was going to answer, but at that moment a big wave covered them both, then broke on the beach and rolled back noisily over the shingle. The friends got out and began dressing. "Of course it is difficult to live with a woman if you don't love her," said Samoylenko, shaking the sand out of his boots. "But one must look at the thing humanely, Vanya. If it were my case, I should never show a sign that I did not love her, and I should go on living with her till I died." He was at once ashamed of his own words. He pulled himself up and said, "But for aught I care, there might be no females at all. Let them all go to the devil." The friends dressed and went into the pavilion. There, Samoylenko was quite at home and even had a special cup and saucer. Every morning they brought him on a tray a cup of coffee, a tall cut glass of iced water, and a tiny glass of brandy. He would first drink the brandy, then the hot coffee, then the iced water, and this must have been very nice, for after drinking it his eyes looked moist with pleasure. He would stroke his whiskers with both hands and say, looking at the sea, "A wonderfully magnificent view." After a long night spent in cheerless, unprofitable thoughts, which prevented him from sleeping, and seemed to intensify the darkness and sultriness of the night, Laevsky felt listless and shattered. He felt no better for the bathe and the coffee. "Let us go on with our talk, Alexander Davidich," he said. "I won't make a secret of it. I'll speak to you openly as to a friend. Things are in a bad way with Nadyezhda Fyodorovna and me, a very bad way. Forgive me for forcing my private affairs upon you, but I must speak out." Samoylenko, who had a misgiving...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?